This is The Beat, a conversation about the Charleston County Sheriff's Office and our community. I'm your host, Oshie Alford.
Hello and welcome again to The Beat. My name's Oshie and I am joined here today with Captain Ferguson.
Good morning.
Captain Ferguson, tell us a little bit about your position with SWAT.
So I'm currently the SWAT commander for our team.
Okay. That was short and sweet.
Pretty short and sweet.
Okay, so how did you find yourself in the position of the commander of the SWAT team?
So I tried out for the team years back when I was a deputy, made the team, had the opportunity to rise through the team, holding a few different positions, and then in 2022, I believe, after returning from Virginia for a few months at the NA, I was put in command of the team.
So what made you decide that you wanted to be a part of SWAT? Was it one of those like childhood dreams?
No, actually, I didn't grow up wanting to go into law enforcement. I wanted to go into the Marine Corps like my dad. When I was at the Citadel my junior year, I decided to go into law enforcement. When I first got here, I really didn't want much to do with SWAT or Metro narcotics. Like that just didn't seem like something that interested me, and it didn't take long for me to realize I was wrong. I like the opportunity to go above and beyond. One of those things, somebody has to do the job, and I felt like I was able to do it. So it took me a couple of times to make the team, but I eventually got onto the team, and here I am.
So it took you a couple of times to make the team.
Correct.
So I would imagine it means it's kind of difficult to get on the team.
So we have a pretty intense tryout process. It's a one-day process, but it's the entire team is involved, and we don't just take anybody on our team. We're very, very selective about who we take on.
And I know it's not just sheriff's office people that are on SWAT, right?
So yes, all of our operators are sheriff's deputies. We do have members of the Charleston County EMS, our tactical EMS, are part of our team, but everyone else is a member of the sheriff's office.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anytime I see them, I get like weirdly intimidated because they have all the tactical gear and everything. And I'm like, I don't know what's about to go down, but I want to see. So what was the training process once you did make the team for SWAT? Or did you have to go to training before your tryout?
So it's changed over the years. When I first made the team, we actually had a call out the day I made the team, and I was thrown out there, and just luckily I was assigned with somebody that could get me through it. We don't do that anymore. Now when you make the team, you have to go through some training processes to make sure that we are comfortable with putting you out there. Actually, Mark Gallman, who's our perimeter element leader, he is the first element leader for new deputies that make the team or new operators. He signs off when they're ready. So he takes them out, works with them, and once he feels that he's comfortable with them, he lets me know, and we make them operational.
So what are the different elements of the SWAT team? Because I immediately think of like the cords that come down the ceiling and everybody drops in. Is that like part of it?
So that's, SWAT is not a lot like what you're gonna see on TV. We are comprised of several different elements. So that's what we call our different portions of the team. So our perimeter element are the guys that handle the outside problem. They keep the problem in. They keep other problems from coming inside as well. They keep them out. So say we're at a situation where someone goes out the back door, they deal with that. Then we have the sniper element. They handle things, obviously the overwatch for the team, and they have the ability to essentially handle business from a distance. Then we have our mechanical breach. Those are the guys that open the door or use explosive entry to open the door or make a hole or open a window for us to get tools inside. Entry element are the ones that go in the door. So essentially if you have a problem inside, they're the ones that make the entry. They go deal with the situation. The ones you're generally going to see on like our Bearcat, our armored vehicle. And then we have our TIMS element, the tactical EMS. They're the ones that are there. They're typically on the Bearcat up close. They can do medical or handle medical situations in what's called a warm environment. So maybe the situation isn't completely done, but they are able and trained to come in and help out. They don't go into where the problem is happening, but they can be close by rendering medical aid.
Wow, so there's a lot more to it than I initially thought.
Yes, yeah.
But that's good, because there should be more than someone who's inexperienced, would think of. You want to be able to think of the actual situation at hand, so.
We don't bring part of the team for situations because they're usually a lot bigger than they look. All of those pieces come together. You know, you can't do our job with just one piece of the team. So we have the entry element, and they're at the front of the building trying to work through the problem. If the bad guy can come and go as they please out the back, we really aren't we really aren't containing that problem. We're not handling it. So mm-hmm. it takes the whole team to satisfy that mission.
So if someone was interested in like being on the SWAT team, what would you tell them?
Well, first and foremost, you have to have your 18 months of the Sheriff's Office course. We have the ability to waive that on occasion for certain circumstances. Some people, pre-certified folks come here and they just have everything they need to really kind of transition onto the team. Otherwise, you have to have your 18 months law enforcement experience. You have to have recommendations from your supervisors, and then we have our tryout process. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I would say go out and work on your shooting. I mean, that's a high expectation that our shooters are going to be the best of the best. You have to be in good physical condition. We are not running long distances in SWAT, but if something happens and you got to get out of somewhere quickly, you got to get out a window, you got to go in a window, you got to get somebody out, you have to be in good physical condition to do that. And some other aspects of our train or our team require it. You know, our mechanical breaching, it's not something you can just step on and do day one if you haven't been lifting a couple weights. Other processes like our rappelling, you can't just do that without having some physical fitness.
But you do rappel.
We do rappelling, yes. Hmm. We rappel from buildings and helicopters.
Oh man, that sounds so cool. But not like the movies at all.
No.
Not at all.
Like no, movies. we're not jumping through windows and no, that's not a thing.
You know, in a lot of situations, I would say reality is probably much more interesting anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the problems that we deal with. It's like a chess game. You know, you have a bad guy in there that doesn't want us to take custody of them. Mm-hmm. And it's us figuring out, you know, they do their thing. We have to figure out how to counteract that and then get ahead of them and make the next step or take the next step to get them out. Obviously, our intention is to end everything peacefully. With everybody, including the suspect, going home. Well, maybe not going home, but going to the jail healthy and in good condition. We don't want anything to end in a use of force. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're prepared to do it, but our goal is everyone going home safe.
Do you find more often than not, once like SWAT shows up, they're just like, okay, never mind?
Yeah, there are a lot of situations where, you know, I don't know what's going through their mind mm-hmm. when the house is surrounded by law enforcement. But when that Bearcat rolls up, you start seeing the guys in the tactical gear. They're more inclined to come out at that point and end it. It doesn't happen all the time.
So tell us a little bit more about some of the gear in the vehicles that you guys have.
So we have a Lenco Bearcat. It's it's an armored personnel carrier. It is rated, ballistically rated, so it is protection for our team. It gives us the ability to go up close to the problem. We have an equipment truck and a personnel carrier. It's not armored. They're a little bit further away from the problem because they don't have the same ballistic characteristics that the Bearcat does. All of our operators wear a tactical vest, and it's rated for rifle rounds. Obviously, that has its limitations, but for the basic rifling, rifle rounds that you're going to see your common bad guy probably using, you know, it should give you some protection. We have, obviously, ballistically rated helmets. We have the weapons that were issued. And then we have our other tools. I'm not going to get into everything, but we have munitions, gas munitions. Sometimes that is that incentive that I'm talking about giving people to come out. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's one of those things we can use to bring someone out. We would prefer someone come out than us have to go in. Mm-hmm. It's better for everybody.
So I would imagine, you being in this position, you find it really rewarding.
No, absolutely. I love being able to serve others. And SWAT gives me that opportunity. We are a team that is called when whatever circumstance goes above and beyond the capabilities of whoever's on scene trying to handle it. It's still a job that needs to be done. It's not always a pretty job. It's not always an easy job. It requires a lot of sacrifice. But at the end of the day, if we can make sure that everyone goes home safe, that means us, the other law enforcement involved, the suspect, any kind of victims involved. If everyone goes home safe, that's rewarding, and that's what I'm there for.
So all of our guys are Charleston County. What is the jurisdiction with SWAT? Is it just specifically Charleston County? I know you said you aid some other people as well.
We do. Our primary job is in Charleston County, but we're a federal response team. So if the federal government needs us to go elsewhere, we have the ability and capabilities to do that. We also go outside of Charleston County to help other teams that need help. So, you know, since I've been on the team, we have helped relieve Berkeley County When I was a young operator, we went up and held a scene for them overnight. We work a lot with our surrounding teams, obviously Charleston City, Mount Pleasant, North Charleston being in Charleston County. We work a lot with those guys. They have something going on and they need us to handle stuff, we do it for them. If it's a joint operation, we've done joint operations with them. The federal response teams in the state, we're required to train with them periodically. So we go down to Beaufort. We've trained up in Richland County. We've done missions in Horry County. We are definitely not tied to Charleston County. And if another team needs help, another agency needs help, we're going to be there for them. Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything in particular that you want to tell the people?
I know there's a lot of discussion out there about militarization of law enforcement, and they don't like the look of a Bearcat. I get it, but I don't think that people have a full understanding that the situations a SWAT team goes to are not your everyday domestic disturbance or, you know, simple roommate argument. These are calls where we have determined that there's a high level of danger involved. Because you're not using your everyday law enforcement officer for that, you're calling in people with special abilities, with special equipment and tools. There's a reason for it, and you need those tools. Our Bearcat has been shot on a scene. Everybody lived, the bad guy included, that shot at the Bearcat. Was taken into custody. The reality is those things happen. Those suspects can be brought in safely, even when their behavior dictates a higher response. But using all of this equipment gives us the ability to bring them home. Maybe gas is involved. Maybe a taser is involved. Maybe a less lethal weapon's involved to take them into custody. But the reality is we're there for a reason. We're there because there's a higher level of danger associated with what we're doing. And it may not always look pretty. That equipment may not look pretty. The Bearcat is not the prettiest thing in the world, but it has a purpose, and it's there to keep people safe and to try to get everyone home safely, including the suspects. So.
Well, and I think it's important that we touch on that, because I think a lot of times people focus on when we don't get them home or we don't get them to the detention center, and that does happen. But I think more often than not, people don't do the follow-up when somebody does make it home, somebody does make it to the detention center through you guys doing your job.
Not everything law enforcement gets to do is pretty. Mm-hmm. There is a rough side to it, and we have to have those tools and those abilities, because at the end of the day, again, the goal is to bring everyone home. Even if you need the SWAT team, even if you need to bring all the equipment and the rifles and the gas and everything else, the goal is not to use any of it. The goal is to do what we have to do to get the suspect out safely, to get all my guys home safely, everyone that responded, the victims, everyone. If everyone goes home safe, it is a successful mission. We break a piece of equipment, we get a flat tire, I don't care. None of that matters as long as everyone goes home safe. Everything else is ancillary.
If I remember correctly, there haven't been any shots fired through SWAT recently, right?
That's correct. Since I've been on the team, we have not used deadly force to take anyone into custody. We certainly train for it. Unfortunately, a lot of teams across the country are put in that position to have to do so. We have been fortunate. It's a lot of hard work to work through the problems or to try to avoid that problem, and we have been successful thus far, but it is an eventuality we plan for. That's why we do the medical work we do. It's why we work on the range as hard as we do. That's why we work on training with our less lethal equipment to try to bring resolution to these incidents without having to take that step. But we are prepared to do it if it is required to do so.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule.
Happy to do it.
And I think I've personally learned a lot about SWAT. And I'm not going to believe the TV shows and the movies as much anymore.
No, it's like all things on TV. If you watch a show about law enforcement, it's all car chases and craziness, and they get in a shooting and they're back on duty later that day and they don't do paperwork, and that is not the reality of law enforcement whatsoever. There's a lot that goes on in the background, a lot of minutia and mundane activities that have to occur to make us successful.
Yes. Don't believe everything you see on TV, kids.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you again, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you tonight.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
This has been The Beat, a conversation about the Charleston County Sheriff's Office and our community. I'm your host, Oshie Alford. Look for future episodes by following the Charleston County Sheriff's Office on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.